if the based right is going to be policed in this manner as not being good representatives of the ACNA, then I look forward to the swift removal of many on the left who are also not good representatives.
Welcome to the Stand Firm Podcast. I'm Nick Lannon of Grace Anglican Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and we weren't going to post a podcast episode this week. Matt Kennedy of the Anglican Church of the Good Shepherd in Binghamton, New York, is at his diocesan convention, and J.D. Koch of St. Luke's Anglican Church on Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, is at the board meeting of Trinity Anglican Seminary. But then Calvin Robinson went and got himself licensed, and then Calvin Robinson's license got revoked. So here's what we're doing. Today, as our podcast episode, we have Ann Kennedy reading her recent Substack post entitled Calvin Robinson and the Vibe That Shifted. We'll include a link to the written version in the show notes, along with everything she links to. If you like this podcast, you'll love Ann's Substack. We could not recommend it more. Go subscribe. Matt, JD, and I will try to have a conversation about this story and anything that happens in the meantime next week. For now, though, here's Ann.
Calvin Robinson and the Vibe That Shifted. Some thoughts on what's coming. Picture of Thomas Cranmer reading X this morning, trying to figure out what's going on with the bishops of the ACNA. I had half a post going yesterday with a roundup of pieces about Calvin Robinson, RNS, Jeff Walton, and Mark Marshall's open letter, but around bedtime here in the Northeast, Robinson posted this and then deleted his Twitter. He said, "It is done. Bishop Ray Sutton is a good man, one of the best Anglican bishops I know. If even he cannot find a place for me, even temporarily, perhaps God is sending me a message." And the email is, "Dear Father Calvin, after much prayer and counsel from fellow bishops who have not required me to revoke licensure, I have decided that I must withdraw it effective this day. My secretary copied is currently out of town. She will provide the document in the next few days that states removal of licensure. Thank you for your kind and obedient service in the short time you've been under my licensure. I wish you every best in the service of our Lord. Sincerely in Christ, the Most Reverend Dr. Ray Sutton." So I'm gathering that my desire to see the texting thread I assumed must be in existence was a vain one, as there must have been no communication ahead of time between bishops of the ACNA. Bishop Sutton must have acted on his own and then, receiving pushback, changed his mind. And this, it must be said plainly, is humiliating for everyone in the ACNA, but especially for Bishop Sutton. Never mind hard on Calvin Robinson. Having done the deed, it is better to stick to it, come what may. What is this? Ah, yes, a failure of nerve. Yesterday, Mark wrote that, quote, "When you say that Calvin Robinson does not belong in the ACNA," responding to Archbishop Woods, "you may tell many others that they don't belong in the ACNA either. You particularly tell the young based men who are suddenly going to church that they would be better off in another church. That is surely not your intent, but that is what your statement communicates. I often communicate with those interested in ACNA or in finding an Anglican church. I've lost count of the times I've had to explain away statements and practices of this and that ACNA cleric. I've oft explained that ACNA is mixed, but as a whole Orthodox. But how can I and others credibly explain away a statement from the Archbishop himself? You've just made the task of attracting and retaining sound Orthodox people that much more difficult for me and many ACNA priests and parishes. Anglican is already becoming a byword for timidity and wokeness. You and I know that is neither accurate nor fair, but that is how too many already see us regardless," end quote. I should say before anything else that I am in Falls Church as I write this. Later in the day, I will go hear Matt preach at the opening of our synod and then stick around and hear Archbishop Woods give an address. Then Matt and I will reluctantly hit the road again and miss all the festivities because of that graduation and wedding I've been mentioning every few minutes for several months. If there is any question and answer time, I would imagine that at least one person might inquire about what is going on and why all of this happened. I probably won't get to stay for any of that because it's a 5-hour drive and I have to be in bed before tomorrow morning. I guess I only have one real thing to say on this subject. if the based right is going to be policed in this manner as not being good representatives of the ACNA, then I look forward to the swift removal of many on the left who are also not good representatives of Anglican sensibilities. If we're going to have purity of representation, then let us have it everywhere. Only people who unwaveringly and full-throatedly accept the 39 Articles and the authority of God's holy word should have licenses in the ACNA. Scott McKnight should be the first to go. His little book that I reviewed last year is an appalling expression of post-liberal progressive biblicism. Plus, he is often mean and has said nasty things about me. Anyone who has ever tried to nuance the LGBT question or said anything good about abortion should not have a license in the ACNA. Whoever arranged for Bishop Todd Hunter to have a cozy sit-down with Kristen Dumais should be invited to join some other denomination. As for doctrine, we should batten down the hatches on Holy Spirit talk. There should be no charismaticism in the ACNA because the 39 Articles don't say anything about it. No speaking in tongues, no praise music. Anything that anyone says should have a scripture reference next to it. And obviously anyone who is even a little bit as Catholic as Robinson should be out. So everyone who graduated from Neshota House or wears any kind of lace should have to go join the ordinariate. And if we've got rid of Calvin, it must be because the question of women's ordination is finally going to be dealt with. So I guess the College of Bishops has decided to grandfather out WO. No more women will be ordained, and in 50 years the problem will have solved itself. To say it another way, it looks like things can get done around here, but only things that don't take into account, as Mark said, the real and measurable vibe shift toward traditional Christianity. Yesterday, I complained about Robinson being young and was informed that he is basically 40. But really, I stand by my point. He gives off a very young vibe. He is energetic, and given his swift movement through 5 different denominations, he is also having a hard time finding his place, which is something the young suffer to a greater degree than the old. Could it be, El Guapo, that the leaders of today's Christian world haven't done enough to account for the spiritual wreckage of the last century? I know I keep talking about this all the time, but I might as well again, because I'm working on the Pastor's Wife review part deux. Round 1 went to Icon, round 2 will go to CRJ. And the thing that just irritates me down to my core is that Beth Allison Barr and others, many, many others in fact, go along on the assumptions of the last century as though they are tenable, as though the world on the last day of 1999 was going to last, as though equality was something to be grasped, as though everything was going to be wonderful. Barr, in a blithe and happy disposition from her comfortable office in academia, probably wearing cute, affordable shoes, surrounded by books printed on affordable paper, having driven an affordable car filled with affordable gas, cannot understand the world of the past. She thinks that the kind of authority women wielded in the first 1500 years of the church must correspond to her conceptions of the kind of authority men and women both yield now. But there is a surging and unsettling truth bubbling up under the surface of all Americans today, whether they be bishops, priests, deacons, or laypeople. And that is that another, more ancient, more discomforting view of the person and of God is springing forth. It is the one in which the mysteries of male and female, of God and humanity, of the soul and the body are being grasped by those desperate for a full spiritual breath of air. These young people, I am mother to some of them, are angry every time they hear there is no difference between a man and a woman, that God does not exist. They are angry about the ugly buildings. They mourn over the loss of the stars in the night sky. What is it called when you feel homesick for a world you never got to inhabit? Christians, including Anglican ones, are unprepared for the spiritual earthquake that is coming to them. Either we adapt and shift, or we end up like Sean Rowe, literally peering into a camera, headphones askew, explaining that we can't be ourselves and take this step, that the anti-racism of tech means they can't accept 50 or so refugees from South Africa because of Bishop Desmond Tutu. And now, gentle reader, I must finish that review so I don't miss the festivities of the afternoon. Have a nice day. Demotivations with Anne is a reader-supported publication. To receive new posts and support my work, consider becoming a free or paid subscriber. Oh,